Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hidden treasures. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. That, of course, is Kyle Yates, and it's you. And we're talking all things football today, as always, here on Fantasy Pros. Don't forget to like and subscribe our YouTube channel, Fantasy Pros, and click that little notifications button while you're there so you can watch all the pods and all the great content, because it's draft season and we are here. And boy, oh boy, what a fun show we got for you today. Today, 15 sneaky upside draft picks. And we decided today, Yates and myself, that it's time to dig a little deeper. We've talked so much about many of the guys that are going to get drafted. What about the guys on the fringe? What about the players in the deeper leagues you need to know? And what about the players you need to be aware of? Because when that waiver wire time hits, there's going to be some guys early on that can make a difference. We're going to start identifying, getting you guys up to speed, just in case you're not already, with some of these names that we like that we think have a lot of upside. And Yates, before we started the show, we went back in time all the way to 2020, and we started looking at some of the names in similar ADP that we're talking about today. And my goodness, it was better than people think, because there were some free squares that if you had a bunch of them, you might have won your league.
Absolutely. I mean, we're looking at guys like James Robinson. You know, obviously everyone loved James Robinson last year and he was an absolute steal, but he was RB61 in ADP by the time that we closed it. Then you go even further down the list, you got guys like Gus Edwards at RB84 last year. He was a solid contributor. JD McKissick at RB91. So not all these guys that we're going to talk about here in this episode are going to be ones that you're wanting to draft or that you have to draft. But we're wanting to talk about them to be able to create awareness and develop awareness for these guys. So that way, if they do hit the way that we think that they could, then at least you have the upper hand on the rest of your league mates to be able to say, I'm going to get ahead on my waiver wire in week one, week two, which is such a critical, critical week for waiver wire. So I'm really looking forward to this one.
This is like a public service announcement. That's what we're doing today, about some of these names, some of these talents that you should be at the very least aware of. More names from last year that kind of fit the bill of the kind of guys we're talking about this year. How about Brandon Ayuk, 205 overall, wide receiver, 65 on the board. How about some guy too named T. Higgins? You ever heard of him? 220 last year, wide receiver 73, Antonio Brown, another guy who was in this grouping. Let's not forget about Corey Davis, who we're talking about so much right now. But last year, he was a 225, wide receiver 77. Yates, incredible names. And how's Chase Claypool? 263, yep. Wide receiver 84. You're saying, Joe Yates, why are you talking about guys in the 70s and 80s? This is why, because there's going to be names that are important that you need to know. We're going to tell you about them. So we're going to get you all caught up, all set up on today's show. Not all of them are going to hit, but some of them are going to hit big, and it's worth starting to get ahead of the pack. And that's why you hang out here with us at Fantasy Pros. And while you're at it, don't forget to go to fantasypros.com/draftkit because our draft kit is out and available right now. It's got the total access to the Draft Wizard, my book, my playbook premium. It's got analyst advice, the sleepers, the busts, the cheat sheets that you need. It's all in the draft kit over at fantasypros.com. Also, you get community access. We keep talking about it. The Fantasy Pros community is growing. You're part of it. So come join us over on the Discord channel, and you can go ahead and join all that fun stuff. There's all these different channels. And when you obviously upgrade your subscription there, you get more access to more channels and more access to us so we can interact with you, because that's what we love to do. You can talk to the analysts directly. Obviously, you can, you know, ask us questions. Last night I was answering a bunch of questions too, because I was just randomly at home hanging out with the kiddos, watching some TV, and I had some time to just answer some questions for people. You also get a really great offer we're going to give you too. Let's say you're kind of on the fence about it all. I don't know if I want to upgrade to the premium products you guys offer. Well, how about this? Go to fantasypros.com/offers. Again, that's fantasypros.com/offers. The draft kit is only for premium subscribers. So there's a special deal going on. If you want to become a premium subscriber, go to fantasypros.com/offers, make a $10 deposit. That's it, 10 bucks to one of our partner sites, okay? Any of them that are on there, enter a contest and claim 6 free months of our Hall of Fame package at a $65 value. That's it, 10 bucks for playing more fantasy, and you get a premium subscription to Fantasy Pros. I don't know what's better than that. I can't possibly tell you. So go do it right now. Get the draft kit. Get on Discord. Get with us over at Fantasy Pros. Now, Yates, we've compiled a list of 15 names here. You and I feel very good about this list. I want you to kick things off. Who is the number one guy you want to talk about first as we count down these 15 guys that we think have upside in terms of their, well, total disregard almost in draft position?
Yeah, it's crazy with some of these names and how far down the board they are comparative to what they can be for fantasy football. And we've always had this conversation with this player and saying that, oh my word, what could he be for fantasy football in this offense? It paired with Russell Wilson as his quarterback. Let's go to the running back position. Let's go with Rashad Penny here. Now, I know that about 50% of you probably just turned off the podcast, but hey, come back as I die.
Yeah, just come back to watch this. Yates is getting choked up. Please come back. He gets very upset when you leave
the
podcast.
Okay, here we go. Come back, because we want to talk about Rashad Penny here, because the Seahawks had 411 rush attempts in 2020, 481 in 2019, and a ridiculous 534 in 2018. Chris Carson, his career high, received 278 carries in 2019, but we know that his durability is always in question. So the question is, when you sit down and you do projections and you allot them maybe 411 rush attempts like they had last year, maybe you want to go a little bit more aggressive within that. Where do the other rush attempts in this offense go? You've got guys like DJ Dallas. He's a role player. He's not going to step in as a true complement to Chris Carson. And then Travis Homer, he's not going to be it. So where do the other rush attempts in this offense go? Chris Carson's going to be, he's going to be fantastic for fantasy football as long as he's on the field. But what happens to the other rush attempts? And we know that when Rashad Penny is fully healthy, we started to see that Rashad Penny was getting the majority of the workload in those few games that they overlap. Now, I'm not going to sit here and project that Rashad Penny is going to be a true consistent week in and week out, like RB2 or anything like that. But for where he's going in drafts right now, you have a free square at the running back position, which we talk about all the time in Mock Draft Show. We say after, man, what, round 6, round 7, mm-hmm. round 8, running back dries up really quickly. I'm getting Rashad Penny in the last round of drafts, and there's no downside to it, because at that price point, if he does get injured, then you just move on. But all reports coming out of training camp are that he has slimmed down. He's looking explosive. He's looking great. It's just the durability concerns. So I think that he's going to have enough volume here to be a guy where maybe he enters into the flex conversation. Maybe he starts to take over again like he did in 2019 as the season goes along at RB 49 in ADP, RB 53 in ECR. I've got him at RB 37 in my rankings. I'm the highest in the industry on Rashad Penny, which is a gross place to be. I get it. But at the same time, what is the downside with here? We're looking for upside. And with Rashad Penny, the upside is through the roof.
All right. First guy I want to talk about here is Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I know what you're going to say. Yeah. Oh, the Detroit Lions wide receiving core. Exactly. That's exactly why I want to talk about it. Because this is the guy they went out there and drafted. This is the guy they chose. And apparently all the early buzz out of camp is this is a guy that can move the chains for them. And that's kind of the quote that's come out. That's exactly the wide receiver I want on this offense, because I don't know if they're more than a move the chain kind of offense anyway. I don't think explosiveness is really what you're looking for from the Lions. But if you want a guy who's maybe got some volume attached to him, maybe can continue to grow and get better as the season goes on, the talent is there. Certainly the opportunity is there. And all he's got to do is have a really good camp and get a rapport early on. This is one of those guys that I think when you watch training camp and you watch the preseason games, the more good pub you hear about Amon-Ra St. Brown, the better it's going to be potentially in your fantasy leagues to maybe grab this guy off the waiver wire. Or if you're in deeper best ball leagues, maybe you take some late round flyers on this guy, because there's every reason to believe that over the course of a 17-game season, he could establish himself as a fantasy-worthy wide receiver. Not a one, not a two, probably not a three. But maybe a guy you could play on bye weeks, maybe a guy that can be useful, or maybe just maybe a matchup play if things start to go well. They're not going to score 0 points all year. So, Yates, I know you are Mr. Dynasty, so you've watched a lot of St. Brown. I thought this was a really good value pickup for them in the draft, and I think he's got every opportunity to make the most of it going into the season.
Love the talent of St. Brown. I was shocked that he fell to the fourth round of the NFL draft, but I still had him rated pretty highly on my Dynasty rookie boards because of the opportunity in this offense. Earlier today, we got a notification that Brashad Perryman was shaken up on a play in training camp already. So the two wide receivers that are above him on the depth chart are Tyrell Williams and Brashad Perryman. Both of those players are not exactly the pure model of health. So there's an opportunity already for St. Brown to carve out a role as the starting slot receiver in this offense. And then you add on to that you might not have Brashad Perryman for all 17 games. You might not have Tyrell Williams. Quintez Cephas is going to factor in a little bit here or there, but I don't think that he's going to have a true starting role in this offense. So I think St. Brown has the clear of opportunity in front of him. And a lot of people have asked, like, why I have TJ Hawkinson as low as I do in my rankings. I have him at tight end 7, I believe, tight end 8 off the top of my head. And a lot of it, and DeAndre Swift a little bit lower too, a large portion of that is because I have a significant target share going to Amon-Ra St. Brown. TJ Hawkinson is not going to get all the targets in this offense. Now, you mentioned it. The scoring opportunity is probably not going to be fantastic right. in this offense. So we can't expect great, great things from him. But as a PPR, especially in PPR leagues, full PPR leagues, sign me up for St. Brown with my last round pick. I remember walking out of a draft and it was Terry McLaurin's rookie season. And my last pick, Terry McLaurin, was like buried down ADP.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you know, and I remember my last pick, I hit draft on Terry McLaurin. No one else in my league knew who he was. I drafted him and walked out. And then week one, Terry McLaurin came out on fire. Mm-hmm. I think we could see something similar with St. Brown this year.
St. Brown, wide receiver 68 in half PPR, 203 overall. So that's the second guy on our list. Yates, let's go back to you for number three.
Yeah, let's go back to the running back position here. Let's go in Miami and let's go with Savon Ahmed. With Ahmed, we need to remember that he was actually very, very productive in his opportunity last season. There's a game against the New England Patriots towards the end of last season where he had 23 carries, 122 yards, and a touchdown on the ground. So with Ahmed, we need to remember that he is a really talented running back. I loved his tape coming out of Washington. Now, he had a weird combine where he bulked up for the combine, ended up running like a 4.6 at 205 pounds or something like that, which was not what he needed to do. But he can fly when he's on the football field. And so with Ahmed, dealt with a shoulder injury after that point, after that game against New England. And then that's the point where we saw Miles Gaskin come back into the lineup. And so we never really got clarity on what this backfield truly looks like when Savon Ahmed and Miles Gaskin are both healthy and on the field. I believe that Miles Gaskin is going to be the starting running back. And I have Gaskin pretty highly in my rankings. But it's not a guarantee here. Correct me if I'm wrong, Joe. I have not seen an official announcement to say that Miles Gaskin is the clear starting running back in this backfield from Brian Flores or anything like that. So, I mean, there is a path here for Savon Ahmed to carve out a role in this offense and still see enough work here. And you're talking about, and Gaskin's durability too. We have to talk about that. Gaskin's durability is a concern. So we could see Savon Ahmed as a starting running back in the NFL for what I think is going to be a much, much improved offense this year in Miami. RB 70 in ADP, RB 57 in ECR. In my rankings, he's RB 42.
That's a big gap right there. And it's funny because he was going to be on my list and you stole him from me because of the same reasons. I'm not... 100% comfortable with the Miles Gaskin situation. I like Gaskin. I like the talent. I like what I saw. I'm concerned about him being the starter, meaning whether or not he's the bell cow. Those two terms don't always go together, boys and girls. I don't understand. You know, people get caught up in that. Oh, he's the starter. Yes, but is he getting all the carries? I don't know. And you're right. I remember that game against the Patriots far too well. I'd like to forget it. But I think when you're looking at Ahmed, what I've seen too is he's a guy that in best ball drafts late, I got a ton of shares of, because you look at the running backs that are out there. It's guys like Marlon Mack. It's guys like him. And you go, well, is there a path for these guys? And, you know, I think there's more of a path for Salvin, actually, in a lot of ways, because he's a guy that if Gaskin does get hurt again, or maybe he just plays very well, maybe he can carve out more opportunity. That's why I like Gaskin as a flex RB, and I don't feel great about him as an RB2. And all the mock draft episodes we've done, you have not seen me probably take Miles Gaskin once, and it's always because he's at the RB2 price, and I don't like him there. So I think this is a great one. Again, RB68, that is a tremendous value there. And another guy in the 60s, I want to talk about it, running back, Kenneth Gainwell. Let's talk about a guy that can catch the football. Let's talk about a guy too in a backfield that, well, this is new coaching staff, right? New guys want to come in and get their guys on the field. Kenneth Gainwell was pretty entertaining in college. And yes, it's a crowded backfield. But when we always talk about crowded backfields or crowded wide receiving cores, we just talked about it yesterday, Yates. I want the cheap ones. I want the guys that don't have to spend a lot of money to find out. I don't want Miles Sanders. I want Kenneth Gainwell later on to see what happens. Now, Miles Sanders is a guy who can touch the ball 15 times a game. And to me, that opens up a lot more opportunity for another guy like Gainwell potentially. And I kind of wonder if you're going to see him take like a Nyheim Hines kind of role right away in this offense. I think at the very least, he's intriguing from a talent standpoint. An injury could thrust him into a bigger role. But just the style of play in the NFL for a guy at 184 overall, RB60, Yates, for me, Gainwell is a very interesting piece that I do believe there's a lot of upside. And that's what we're talking about. Guys with young legs, upside, who are in situations where if things break right, all of a sudden they break out.
Yeah, and here's the concern with Miles Sanders specifically and the path that that can create for Kenneth Gainwell. The league leader is in drops last season. Deontay Johnson with 14. This is all information courtesy of PFF. Jerry Jeudy with 12. DK Metcalf with 10. Nelson Aguilar with 9. CeeDee Lamb with 9. Tyreek Hill with 9. Calvin Ridley with 9. Miles Sanders with 8 drops last year. And it was not like he was seeing the amount of targets that Tyreek Hill and Calvin Ridley were. So I think with Miles Sanders, that's popping up again here in camp, that he's struggling with drops. He's struggling with fumbles, which is a huge, huge concern. We do have Nick Sirianni coming over from Indianapolis, which they like to utilize Nyheim Hines alongside Jonathan Taylor. So we could see Miles Sanders be the predominant ball carrier on the ground, but see his target totals just come crashing down because you do have Kenneth Gainwell, who I rated as the best receiving back coming out in this class. Now, you do have Boston Scott here in this backfield, too. That's something to consider and talk about, which I think could put a cap on Kenneth Gainwell. In my opinion, Gainwell is the superior talent to Boston Scott, so that's going to be something. It's just going to be the argument of, does a rookie come in and beat out Boston Scott right away? It's a new coaching staff, so it's quite possible.
Three good names right off the bat here. I hope you're all taking notes. And while you're at it, take a break from the notes and let's hear about our sponsor, and it's IP Vanish. So what is IP Vanish? It's a virtual private network, a VPN for short, and a VPN is a super important tool that helps you safely browse the internet. You can use a VPN on your computers, your tablets, your phones, even things like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. And when you use a VPN, all your data is encrypted. What you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, whatever it is you're doing, that's your business and yours alone. And for listeners of our show, IPVanish is offering an incredible 65% off, just $3.49 for the first month, $31.49 for the entire year. Here's everything you get with IPVanish: the anonymous IP address, you circumvent online censorship, you get protection when using public Wi-Fi, and 24/7 tech support as well. So go to IPVanish.com/pros to get 65% off the savings. Again, that's IPVanish.com/pros. They have plans starting at just $3.49 or $31.49 for the entire year. And again, show those guys some love because they're one of our big sponsors here on the show. And remember, that's ipvanish.com/pros to get that discount. Yates, let's go back to you for another name on the list.
Let's stick at the running back position. Before we move on to wide receivers, let's go with Larry Roundtree, a rookie running back out of Missouri. If you are just tuning back into fantasy football, you might not even know who this is. So Larry Roundtree, running back out of Missouri, a sixth round pick for the Los Angeles Chargers. And you might be saying, man, he's a sixth round pick. Why are we talking about him for fantasy football? Here's why. Last year, between Justin Jackson, Joshua Kelly, Tremaine Pope, and Kalen Ballage, the Chargers had 273 rush attempts that were not from Austin Eckler. Now, we cannot just drag and drop that and say, like, Larry Roundtree is going to have that, you know, 273 rush attempts. It's more so to illustrate that there is a role in this offense that is up for grabs. We know that Austin Eckler is going to be heavily targeted out of the backfield as a receiver. He's going to get some carries here or there, but he's not a guy who's going to carry the ball 250 times in addition to the ridiculous workload that he has through the air. So then when you look at Kelly averaged 3.2 yards per carry last year. Joshua Kelly was not good. Mm-mm. Justin Jackson, rumored to be a cut candidate too. So now there is a significant opportunity here for Larry Roundtree to come in as a bigger back and be the complement to Austin Eckler in this backfield and be the goal line back for an offense that is supposed to be pretty good this year. So when you put all that together with Larry Roundtree saying that he's got, I liked him as a talent coming out. I think that he's a limited back, but I think that he can fill a role for an NFL offense. RB 94 in ADP, RB 100 in ECR. You ready for this, Joe? My ranking, because I am projecting him to be the 1B in this backfield, RB 43.
Oh my gosh. I was going to say 60. That's tremendous. Well, I think you make a great point, Yates. And that is, no matter how much good work, let's say you're in a standard league, that Eckler does, if they get down to the goal line and he pushes in a six, that's 6 points right there. Right. And I kind of look at that and it's going to be very frustrating for Eckler owners for sure. But Roundtree is a name that we actually brought up. I want to say you brought him up last week on a show when we were having a discussion.
Potentially.
And I think that when I saw him on this list today, I went, you know, you're right. And I was starting to look at some of the Justin Jackson news and some of the other pieces of information. Eric Kelly was bad, too. He also had fumble issues, if you recall, last year.
Yes.
Early in the year, too. That did not endear him to the coaching staff that was there last year. And look, there's every opportunity here for somebody else to emerge. They've been trying to find a compliment guy to Eckler for the last 2 years, basically, and they haven't yet. So maybe Roundtree could be that guy. You're probably not going to draft him, but he's somebody that I think after a draft, you immediately put on your watch list, your waiver wire watch. Like, who's a guy that might be able to be a contributor? Because we all know you can never have too many running backs. That is what's the most important thing. All right, next guy on my list, I have talked about a lot, but I want to bring him up again because he's just so far down. Wide receiver 66, 198 overall. It's Gabriel Davis. Okay, look, I understand Emmanuel Sanders has been some good buzz on him, but he's been on like 100 teams in the last 5 years. If he was all that good, somebody would have kept him. He's an older wide receiver. I saw with my own eyes big moment touchdowns from Gabriel Davis when Stephon Diggs was double covered in the big spots, especially in the red zone. It was Gabriel Davis. And once again, when you're talking about the difference in league types, when you start switching over to those standard leagues and you're looking late at wide receiver, I want the guys that are going to catch balls in the end zone. And this has not been an offense that we've seen so far that's going to run the football very much if they're not named Josh Allen around that area. So you take that out of the equation. I don't know how many touchdowns you're going to lose to Devin Singletary or Zach Moss, but I know this. I know Gabriel Davis was a guy that was able to get open, and he was giving guys a lot of problems out there in those secondaries. And I think this is a player that has at least potential. And if he doesn't hit, you can drop him. But at wide receiver 66, I kind of feel reminiscent last year. We talked about those names, Yates. He feels like that kind of dude that's just kind of sitting out there. And if you look at it and you're looking smart at what the upside is, he has all the upside in the world to, especially if Beasley struggles, gets hurt again, doesn't play at all, potentially, who knows what that situation is going to yield. Gabriel Davis is a player that I have a ton of shares of, and I'm going to continue to be aggressive on.
So here's the thing with Gabriel Davis, and people will talk about Emmanuel Sanders. And yes, I get that. I do think Emmanuel Sanders is going to be a factor in this offense. But here's the other side of that argument, is that the Bills last year, and nothing has changed from offensive play calling, offensive structure. You've still got Josh Allen. You've still, 11 personnel. This is according to Sharp Football Stats. 71% of the time in 11 personnel, which is one running back, one tight end on the field, three wide receivers. So you got three wide receiver sets, 71% of the time. You go a little bit further down and you look at the list, 10 personnel, which is one running back, zero tight ends on the field, 15% of the time. So the wide receivers are on the field a ton in this offense, and you are going to see these guys cycle through. You're going to see them get, you know, significant snaps in this offense, all four of them. So I think you're going to see Gabriel Davis with an opportunity to return flex value. I don't know if he's going to rise above that without an injury to Cole Beasley, without an injury to, you know, Emmanuel Sanders or something like that. I don't know if he's going to rise above that. But at his price point, he's worth the investment because you're getting him as a wide receiver 5, wide receiver 6 on your team. You can definitely invest in him there, and you're going to be able to plug him in as a bye week fill-in at the very least.
All right, we are 6 names deep now onto our list, almost at the halfway point. And it's time to bring up a guy who I'm still shocked here when I looked at the ADP this morning before the show of where this guy is. I thought it would be higher. And Tre'Quan Smith is still wide receiver 69. I thought this would be much higher by now. I thought by the end of the week, we'd probably get a better sense of where things are and you'd see it move up. Nope. He's still wide receiver 69, 207 overall in half PPR. So, Yates, why do you think this hesitation seems to be happening here? Do you think people are waiting for someone else to come in? They're still holding out hope for Michael Thomas? Because it feels like a very strange place to be. And I get it. Sometimes this lazy kind of notion of, well, one guy's gone, so the other guy becomes very good. But really, Tre'Quan hasn't had a chance to be very good yet.
I think it is because Tre'Quan Smith has been hyped, has been built up over the past few seasons now to the point where people are tired of hearing about him as a potential breakout. And we see this all the time where we, as analysts, as the industry, as, you know, fantasy football fans, we start to hype up a player. We start to overhype them. And then to the point where they don't return value year over year, Rashad Penny, for example. And then people just completely write them off and they're not going to go near them no matter what the price tag is. And I think that's what's happening with Tre'Quan Smith, because the logic of Michael Thomas is out of this offense for however many weeks. We don't even know what that timeline is, right? Marquez Callaway, Deontay Harris, who's probably going to miss a couple games with a suspension too. Little Jordan Humphrey, Juwan Johnson, and Chris Hogan are the other wide receivers on this offense. Where's the ball going outside of Tre'Quan Smith? We know Alvin Kamara is going to get a ton of volume.
Right.
And we could see Adam Trautman step up, who will, spoiler alert, we'll talk about here in a little bit. But Tre'Quan Smith is going to be heavily targeted in this offense, no matter who the quarterback is, no matter if it's Jameis Winston, no matter if it's Taysom Hill, he's going to be heavily targeted to begin the season. And here's the thing, guys, Tre'Quan Smith is a good wide receiver. Smith has provided a quarterback rating of 122.7 or higher when targeted throughout every single season he's been in the league. Since his rookie season, he has been provided a quarterback rating of 122.7 or higher for the quarterback who's throwing him the ball, which is fantastic. In his final season at UCF, Smith had a yards per reception of 19.8. His highest mark over the past 3 seasons, 12.8. His skill set has not matched with Drew Brees and his inability to push the ball deep downfield. Drew Brees' tendency to keep the ball towards the line of scrimmage short, you know, that's where Michael Thomas and the slant boy and all that stuff, you know, we're not going to get into that. But that's where that has come from, because he's not been able to push the ball deep downfield to Tre'Quan Smith. He's been used more to open things up for Michael Thomas, for Alvin Kamara underneath. Wide receiver 69 in ADP right now. Wide receiver 62 in ECR. I've got him at wide receiver 38. Because I am building into this that he is going to be heavily targeted to begin the season. And I am projecting Jameis Winston to be the starting quarterback in this scenario and situation. And he's going to be still heavily involved with Jameis as the quarterback once Michael Thomas does come back. We could even see him open things up even further if he's the number 2 or number 3 option in this offense. So, man, I do not get it. I thought we were, just like you, I thought we were going to see Tre'Quan Smith's ADP skyrocket once the Michael Thomas news came out. No one wants to go near him. I will gladly take that discount in my draft.
I think you hit the nail on the head. Why? I think everyone's just been disappointed because they thought, oh, this could be a breakout. But, and when I say he hasn't gotten a chance, he hasn't. Look at the target volume of Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara and tell me where the Tre'Quan Smith breakout potential was. It wasn't there. He didn't get the opportunity. How much does this change for you if Taysom Hill is named quarterback? And maybe that's holding this back too. If he's named the starter, where does this knock him down in your rankings potentially from where you have him?
I mean, it'll move him down slightly, but I'm not going to go all the way down to wide receiver 69 and ADP. You know, like, he's not going to go all the way down there. He's still going to be a value, even if Taysom Hill is the quarterback. So while I don't have high hopes for Taysom Hill as a passer, the ball's still got to go somewhere. And so Traquan Smith absolutely can be that player that can soak up targets in this offense, no matter who the quarterback is.
Yeah, this is a free square, as we were talking about before. Yep. This is an upside pick. I mean, this might be the definition of upside pick,
right?
Of all the guys we're talking about here. So take advantage right now if you're drafting this weekend, next weekend, before this continues to move up. Because if he has a good preseason game, I guarantee you people are going to start catching up to where Yates has him. I guarantee it. All right, let's take another moment. And let's talk about another sponsor of our show, and that is Air Medcare Network. Let's talk about the best defense for the unexpected. Are you prepared? If the unthinkable happens, if a medical emergency arises, Air Medcare Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind. Membership costs as little as $85 a year for your entire household, and right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to $50 gift card, Visa or Amazon, that is, with a new membership. All you got to do is go to airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code Fantasy Pros no matter where you are in the game of life. An Air Medcare Network membership is the best protection you can have and the one you might not be able to live without. Again, that's airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. All right, Yates. Let's continue to move on the list here. Go back to me for another name. The next name on the list, it's a Joey P favorite. Tight end 31. That's a joke in my town, in your town, in all the towns. Cole Kmet. Let's go. I am tired of hearing about
He's
Jimmy Graham.
Where?
Tight end 31 in ADP right now.
What? Mm-hmm. I didn't know he was that far down.
I didn't either till this morning.
Goodness.
Very disturbing. Very disturbing. Again, it's talking about this. I don't get it. If you look at the snap count share last year, Cole Kmet started to make a lot of push in that regard. Right now, he's 277 overall. He's going, you know, after the Green Bay Packers defense, just to giving you an option of an idea of where he's going. Okay. That's the territory we're talking about.
Jimmy Graham's going before him.
Jimmy Graham is going. And again, it's early.
Tim Tebow is going before him. No.
Tim Tebow is going before Cole Kmet. This is the world I don't want to live in right now, Yates. I don't want to live in it. Or maybe I do. Maybe this is the perfect scenario.
Oh,
especially for
Lord.
Me, Mr. Late Tight End, right? I'm Mr. Late Tight End. He's definitely one of the few guys I've got my eye on. And the upside is there. I continue to go back to something that I've seen my entire life with Andy Dalton, which is when he gets in the red zone, he likes that tight end. He liked Tyler Eifert quite a bit. He was a touchdown machine. Cole Kmet does not have to be Darren Waller. He's just got to be a healthy Tyler Eifert in order to become a tight end one. That is it. That is a very low bar. I'm not setting the bar very high for Cole Kmet. I don't need him to have 10 targets a game. I need him to have maybe 2 or 3 red zone targets a game. That'd be great. Oh, I'd love that. Sign me up for that. Look, tight end can be simple. You want the touchdowns. You want the guys that have upside. Cole Kmet has both. He's got the body type. He's got the experience. He had a really good college career. He was terrific at Notre Dame. I think last year you saw him trying as the year got on. He got more and more comfortable in the offense. And now you're adding quarterback play that actually can look around the field and make good decisions, or at least better ones than guys like Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles can make. So I know you were flabbergasted. In fact, you were so concerned,
that
I had to go back and double check.
This is the definition of flabbergasted.
Right?
Like, right here. Right
I had to now. Go back and look and say, well, I did see it right. I'm like, yep, I saw it right. There it is.
Ridiculous. In
ADP. It's nuts, dude. Absolutely nuts. It's a steal.
We truly saw him ascend as the season went on last year. We saw him be a significant contributor to this offense. And Jimmy Graham is not going to be the threat. Like, Jimmy Graham is, like, let me phrase it this way. Jimmy Graham is holding Cole Kmet back from being drafted or being valued as a top 12 tight end.
Absolutely.
I've got Cole Kmet with 86 targets on the season, Jimmy Graham with 42. I've got Cole Kmet at tight end 17 and Jimmy Graham at tight end 46 on the year. Like, so Jimmy Graham is still going to be a factor, and we might see him still be a factor in the
it's
red
possible.
Zone. But Cole Kmet is going to soak up targets in between the 20s. So I don't understand why tight end 31, especially behind Tim Tebow, like, good night. What are we doing here?
But this is the problem. Again, it's this is why you listen to Fantasy Pros, is why you watch us, because we talk about these things. And Yates does such a great job on the Dynasty Football podcast, where, you know, he evaluates the talent, goes through all these things of these young players. So we always have that benefit of our listeners kind of knowing these guys as they enter the NFL. And tight ends in the first year never do much. Cole Kmet actually showed you some moments. That's all you're looking for. It's kind of like Noah Fant a couple years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Noah Fant at the end of his rookie year started to show you some moments, and all of a sudden you just started to get excited about him. You know, TJ Hockenson, unfortunately, injuries a lot of the time in his first year, but you got to have a little bit of patience with these rookie tight ends, and, you know, hopefully they start to figure it out. Look, you're right. Jimmy Graham could absolutely be a problem, but I'm talking about upside. That's the theme of this show. Cole Kmet has upside at the end of the day to finish as a tight end one, and yep. You're going to get that at tight end 31? Sign me up.
Yep,
all right,
great,
that
great
is
call.
Now eight guys, so we're halfway through the list. We hit the halfway mark. Give me the next guy who's number nine on our list.
All right, so I'm going to talk about a stat here really quick before I talk about my name. Since 1992, okay? That was even before I was born. Since 1992, there are only two players who have averaged more than 19 yards per reception with a minimum, like a threshold of 19 receptions, and had more than a 65% catch rate, okay? More than 19 yards per reception and had more than a 65% catch rate. Rob Gronkowski did it in 2016 with 21.6 yards per reception and a 65% catch rate on 35 targets. The other player to do it, Tyron Johnson, did it last year with 19.9 yards per reception and a ridiculous 76.9% catch rate. An ADOT of 20.3 last year for Tyron Johnson. Tyron Johnson, the wide receiver out for the Los Angeles Chargers, in case you were not aware of even who he is. So Tyron Johnson here is a guy that I am projecting to have a bigger role in this offense than I think a lot of other people. Well, obviously a lot of other people are, because we're going to get to where he's going in ADP and ECR right now. So Tyron Johnson here has chemistry with Justin Herbert. We've seen in training camp that Tyron Johnson is lighting it up. He's dealing with a minor injury right now, but has been lighting it up when he's been on the field. We know that he can be really, really good because we've seen the stats last year. And I think this is what is playing into the role of, I cannot get on board with Mike Williams and the hype train that is leaving the station here with Mike Williams, because I think that Tyron Johnson is going to command more of a target share than I think a lot of other people are admitting and wanting to realize. Timed running a 4.34 at the Oklahoma State Pro Day in 2019. So we know that this guy can fly. We know that his skill set matches up perfectly with Justin Herbert and his cannon of an arm deep downfield. Tyron Johnson, wide receiver 92 in ADP, wide receiver 102 in ECR. I don't know what all the experts are doing that they like don't want to think that he's going to be a factor in this offense whatsoever. He is going to be a factor in this offense. Now, this comes with the caveat, I got him at wide receiver 63 in my rankings. So he's someone that I think you can plug in as a flex option that gives you that boom potential, right? We talk about that where you in the flex and playing some strategy here, you might want to put in a guy like this that has the boom potential to be a deep downfield target threat. That's what Tyron Johnson brings to the table. So as a flex option that you can get, you're not going to even draft him. You're not going to even draft him, but someone that you can watch on the waiver wire, or if you are playing in a deep league, screams upside.
Yeah, the deep leagues, the best ball leagues that are drafting right now, Tyron Johnson is definitely best one of those guys.
Yep,
and
for sure.
And he's got, you know, wide receiver 92, 287 overall in half. And, you know, I saw it last year too. And remember when all that wide receiving core was a complete mash unit, and we kept wondering, how's Herbert doing this still? How does he look so good? And this is one of the players that stepped up in that void. And if you saw it, and I remember watching, was it the game against the Las Vegas Raiders I recall? I want to say that was one of those games that Johnson had some hand in there. Again, this old brain sometimes got to shake the dust, but I'm pretty sure it was that one. If not, it was right around that time too. It was kind of make you go, okay, this guy can do it if indeed these guys miss significant time going forward. So Johnson, another good name here on this list. And another name on your list that you need to know about too is Fantasy Boss. Fantasy Boss, the next evolution in season-long fantasy sports. Fantasy plus crypto plus smack talk in 3D. That's right, it's all there for you. The first player-owned fantasy platform for us by us. If you like crypto, and I know Yates has got a ton of it, what better reason to stay involved in your season-long leagues than being able to win the crypto of your choice any given week? But beware, though, you'll need to beat the boss. Let's talk about the best part of fantasy, and that's smack talk. Fantasy Boss is making it bigger, better, louder, and in 3D. When a gift or meme is just not enough, your digital double spread, the joy of your dominance. Fantasy Boss wants to help you in building something great. Soft launch coming this fall, limited spots available. Join us to help shape the product and a chance to beat the boss and win some crypto. Be a boss, take your game to boss levels, sign up today. Just on the wait list, that is. Again, it's coming out this fall. To get notified when they launch this fall to get your chance to win crypto, sign up at fantasyboss.com. Again, that's fantasyboss.com. Let's get to some more names, because these are the names, again, the upside draft picks, or maybe waiver wire pickups, these guys that might have a little bit more value than you realize, who are basically free. They are absolutely free in your drafts. Another guy about Bryan Edwards. You've listened to me on this show talk a ton about John Brown. And it's because I haven't seen anybody else step up yet. And I've seen John Brown fair enough in my fantasy career to know he's a pretty darn good wide receiver. He's good with Josh Allen. He was good in previous seasons with other teams too. John Brown performs. John Brown's health has always been the thing that's held him back. Now, this is not because of the dazzling catch that I saw on the Twitter machine of Bryan Edwards, although that didn't hurt. There's got to be somebody else that steps up here. And my concern is I don't see anybody else. And John Brown, I know, is not going to play all 17 games. So at some point in time in the season, there's going to be a moment, whether it be early, week one, or maybe week six, or maybe even week eight, where a guy like a Bryan Edwards might finally get it. And if so, all of a sudden he becomes a very useful fantasy wide receiver, because outside of Darren Waller, they haven't established one yet. It's a wide open field. When you have a player with talent, when you have a player who hopefully has youth and health on his side, all he needs is a little bit more, you know, faith of the quarterback, a little bit more, I would say, confidence in the playbook. And when he gets that, there's a breakout potential there. So Bryan Edwards is a talent. Bryan Edwards doesn't have a whole lot of competition. I know Ruggs is there, but I don't know about you, Yates. I just got a bad feeling about Ruggs and this team. It's just like a, I don't know, maybe a bad marriage. Maybe it was never meant to be. Maybe Ruggs will end up somewhere else and we go, oh, there it is. But Bryan Edwards, body type wise, fits that wide receiver one kind of mold. And I think basically right now, when you're looking at wide receiver 90, it's a pretty free square, wouldn't you say?
Joe, he's Randy Moss and Terrell Owens. Haven't you heard that?
Oh, please. He's not Harry Moss and Fred Owens. Not, I don't know who the hell. Why do people say things like this?
I don't know. I don't understand. I don't get it. But I do love the talent of Bryan Edwards. I have since he was at South Carolina and coming out. Health has been the issue for him. But this guy can make some big time, big time plays. And at this point of the draft, you're looking for opportunity. Are you going to draft a third string running back at this point, or are you going to draft potentially a starting wide receiver for an NFL offense, especially if you're in a deeper league? So Bryan Edwards here, people, yeah, it's one of those situations too. Again, last year he was kind of hyped up and didn't do much in his rookie season because of the injuries, because of just, you know, trying to get acclimated to the NFL level, didn't do a ton. And I think that he has an opportunity this year to really break out.
All right, let's get to the next guy on your list. Who you got to talk about?
Yeah, so I don't have a ton of stats to bring to the table with this one. This is just, again, we're looking for opportunity at this point of the draft, especially at wide receiver 95 in ADP, 115 in ECR, wide receiver 84 in my rankings. So again, I'm not going super, super crazy with this guy, but if we do see something happen where Mecole Hardman cannot ascend to grab that number two wide receiver spot, which all indications are that he is, but there still is a wide receiver three spot up for grabs here in the Patrick Mahomes led offense in Kansas City. I'm going Byron Pringle here. There has been a ton of hype all offseason about Byron Pringle. I've been talking him up on Dynasty podcasts and saying, you know, get this guy on your roster for super cheap, because the potential is here for him to carve out a role in this offense. And we know what this offense can do for fantasy football. So Byron Pringle here, I don't have a ton of stats to bring to the table. We haven't really seen a ton from Byron Pringle, but we're looking for opportunity at this point of the draft. This is an upside pick through and through.
You know, you just pissed off a lot of people who are really excited about all of their Mecole Hardman shares. You know that, right? Because he is a very trendy pick. Every year there's a trendy pick. This year, Mecole Hardman is the fork in the road one, where you know it's either going to be good or it's done.
I know. I definitely think that Mecole Hardman can ascend to grab that number two wide receiver spot. He's been showing out in camp. But I'm talking about if he doesn't, then you do have the screaming upside with Byron Pringle if he can. But then he's also got that number three spot up for grabs there too. So,
no, look, it's something that, once again, It's going to ruin and make people pissed off, but it doesn't mean Yates is wrong about it. It just doesn't. Because there were moments last year where it could have been Harmon, but it was Pringle. And we're all looking at each other going, well, what's going to happen here? All right, let's get to another name. And the next one on my list is Terrace Marshall. Terrace Marshall Jr., wide receiver, 79-243 overall. Now, there's a lot of news that he's going to be the slot guy, right? If so, I remember Sam Darnold really liking a guy named Jamison Crowder, and that was the only guy he would throw the football to for early in his career. Now, he's a little older, but I don't know how much more advanced he is, to be honest with you. I really don't.
Sure.
And I understand that Robbie Anderson's there and DJ Moore's there, and these guys are above him in the depth chart. And I get it. You're also talking about Christian McCaffrey. But then you start to look around and you go, man, there's a lot of weapons here. I wonder just maybe if there's room for a guy like this to really be open all the time and really kind of be available there, or if there is a significant injury to another wide receiver, all of a sudden, potentially, things really do open up. Now, going into last year, you saw Curtis Samuel start to get used better in this offense. I think Joe Brady is obviously a great play caller, very excited about what he did last year. I couldn't believe he didn't get a head coaching job, but I think that's going to be rectified very quickly. Cincinnati at some point in the next year. But we'll see how that goes. But I don't know, man. To me, I look at Marshall and I see upside. Wide receiver 79? Yes. Do you have to wait for it? Is it perfect? No. Do you want to draft him? Outside of the deeper leagues, maybe you don't. But I will say this. In best ball, I think you do. And this is another guy kind of like Pringle. That maybe you just kind of circle and go, okay, early waiver wire. If this guy has a good week one, all of a sudden, maybe he's more involved than I think he is. And that could be a useful thing. Again, if injury strikes or if you just need depth at the position.
Yeah. So with Terrace Marshall, I was definitely lower than the consensus, you know, quote unquote, with Dynasty rookie rankings. So with Terrace Marshall, I acknowledge that he is a boom bust prospect, that there was a high ceiling for him. There was a very low floor as well. If he can, I mean, continue to dominate training camp, which is what he's done, and carve out a nice role for himself, he has a ridiculously high ceiling. I can acknowledge that. I just wanted to build it into my rankings to say there's a path here for him to be someone like MVS in Green Bay, where we all the talent is there, just can't struggles to hold on to the football. So I think with Terrace Marshall, that's something that I think that he has a path here. He's got to see something break his way in order to be able to return that value, right? Because you do have Robbie Anderson, who we know is going to be a target leader. We know that we've got DJ Moore. Christian McCaffrey obviously is going to be a target hog. So there's not a ton left over here for Terrace Marshall, but I think that it's an upside pick. I absolutely agree that you want to keep an eye on him. I don't want to draft Terrace Marshall, but I want to keep an eye on him on my waiver wire.
That's 12 names off the list. We got three more to get to. Yates, who is number 13?
Yeah, let's go with the tight end position here. Let's go Tyler Higbee, the tight end out for the Los Angeles Rams. The big thing here with Tyler Higbee is that Gerald Everett is gone. And that was such a huge portion of Higbee's success in 2019. In 2019, Higbee was tied for the most red zone targets in the entire NFL at the tight end position with 19. That was in 2019. And we saw him truly just ascend once Gerald Everett missed the last, I think it was five games of that season. Then last year, we saw him fall off a cliff because we had, one, a terrible quarterback playing quarterback for Los Angeles Rams. So that plays a role in it. And then, the Gerald Everett was there and healthy and taking away a lot of snaps there. So I think with Tyler Higbee now, you have guys like Bryson Hopkins, Johnny Munt, and Jacob Harris behind him on the depth chart. Tyler Higbee is going to be on the field a ton in this offense, in an offense that I believe, I've talked about it several times, I believe is about to go nuclear. And I think that we could see Matthew Stafford lean on Tyler Higbee in the red zone because you look at Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp's a big slot, but he doesn't have the size that Tyler Higbee does. Robert Woods, we know, isn't a huge receiver. DeSean Jackson's not a huge receiver. Tutu Atwell, not a huge receiver.
No.
Nope.
That is correct. So nobody named Tutu comes in there. Exactly. He doesn't look like the guy who he was in front of the nightclub. Nobody named Tutu.
Yeah, exactly. So, you're looking at in the red zone when the field gets compacted, you're looking for size to be able to throw it into tight windows, to be able to go up and get it above defenders. That's what Tyler Higbee brings to the table. So we could see Matthew Stafford lean on him in the red zone. He has career high 5 receiving touchdowns, which happened last year. I think he easily hits the over this season. If that is the case, then we're talking about a top 12 tight end.
Yates and I are going to go on a tight end run here. All right, because this is where a lot of late value is and the upside is. It just is this year. So only one team in your league is going to have Travis Kelce. And I don't know if you want to pay for Darren Waller. I don't know if you want to pay for Kittle because it's going to cost you a lot to get involved there. Blake Jarwin, tight end 25 right now in ADP. I think it's nuts. 218. Now, I understand he's 218 overall and 25 because he's coming off an injury. I understand they kind of want to go slow with him. But the notion that there isn't a path for Blake Jarwin to finish as a low-end tight end one, I think, is madness. Okay, if you're playing in those tight end premium leagues, there's another guy to kind of keep an eye on. One of my favorite guys, it's Janu, it's Cole Kmet, it's Blake Jarwin. Those are the shots I keep taking because I do feel like one of them is going to hit, and I've got the roster space to kind of wait and figure it out, okay? I will. I'll figure it out at tight end. That's just the plan. And I'm looking at Blake Jarwin, and I'm looking at this Cowboys offense, and you want to talk about nuclear offenses?
Right.
You know, let's not forget about September of last year. Can we go back for a second in 2020 and what was going on there and all of the records that were on pace to be shattered by this Dallas Cowboys offense? It's probably going to be the more of the same thing. So when you're looking right now at some value at tight end, don't forget about the Cowboys. Don't forget about Blake Jarwin. Nobody knew who Dalton Schultz was. He came out of nowhere and he had 3 points less than from the Falcons. Oh my God. Just went out of my head.
Hayden Hurst.
I almost said Hunter Henry because I'm so tight end centric right now. Than Hayden Hurst, right? Only 3 points behind him out of nowhere. Okay. So there's definitely targets to be had. Blake Jarwin has some good talent. Even before, if you go back a couple years ago, when Jason Witten was still hanging around, you would see Blake Jarwin have some big catches and some big moments there where Dak was looking for him. Dak has always favored the tight end. Even younger in his career, he always looked for Jason Witten. And now he's evolved, but it doesn't mean he's forgotten about that position and throwing the football there. So Blake Jarwin, to me, is a huge value and a lot of upside because, once again, I'm looking for free tight ends that could end up as tight end 10, 11, 12, and I definitely think Jarwin's one of those candidates at the very least, Yates.
We talk about ambiguous backfields and the ambiguous wide receiver cores, and those are the situations where if you can invest and you get the player right, the position right, then you have a solid, rock-solid fantasy contributor for your lineup. This is one of those ambiguous tight end rooms right now because you do have Jarwin who, yes, he's coming off the injury, but all the buzz has been about Dalton Schultz in training camp. Jarwin has the contract to his name, though. Mm-hmm. The Dallas Cowboys love Blake Jarwin. So this is a muddy situation where it's just like, I don't know which one of these guys it's going to be. Whichever one wins the starting job is absolutely going to be fantasy relevant. So at this price point, I'm fine taking a shot on Blake Jarwin late in my draft, right? If I didn't get it right, then I can just cut him. I can go pick up Cole Kmet, who's still going to be on the friggin' waiver wire. So I think at that point, you can take the shot with Blake Jarwin. And if it doesn't work out, that's fine. You move on. If it does work out, you've got a potential top 12 tight end.
That's what this show's about. It's about upside. Not all these are going to work out. If we hit on 4 or 5 of these out of 15, let me tell you, it's going to be a good season for us here. All right, let's get to the last guy on the list, number 15. And guess what? It's another tight end. So, Yates, give me all the Adam Trautman talk that you want. The floor is yours.
Yeah, so we talk about a potential top 12 tight end. Let's talk about Adam Trautman. And we're starting to see his ADP rise. And it's interesting that we saw, I think, Adam Trautman's ADP rise more than Tre'Quan Smith's after the Michael Thomas injury news. But Trautman here, I'm really, really excited for him. I went back and I was planning on doing a film room on our YouTube channel with NFL Game Pass, going back and looking at Adam Trautman's 2020 season. And I went back and watched every single target that he had, came away extremely impressed with how they utilized him and how they were getting the ball in his hands to be able to create after the catch. NFL Game Pass did NFL Game Pass things and it's not working and I can't do that anymore. But I will tell you right now, the gist of it, Adam Trautman's good. And they're going to get the ball in his hands. Remember, this is a tight end coming out of Dayton last year. So he needed time to develop. And there's an opportunity in this offense again. So with Sean Payton, a very, very creative play caller, they're going to do everything they can to get the ball in his hands and let him create after the catch, which he is so damn good at. So Adam Trautman here, really, really excited for him. If you are willing to wait on the tight end position, I'm doubling down with guys like Jonnu Smith. I'm doubling down with a Tyler Higbee and then coming back and grabbing Adam Trautman there. Love that strategy this year.
You let the position come to you, man. Take two of them because, like, you know, you're going to have those people who are elite and they're not taking a second tight end. The teams that take even Andrews and Hockenson, they're not taking a second one. Even the ones that take Goddard and Fant, probably not. So later on, there's going to be a bunch of ones in the pool. You could just pluck two and the two you like the most and see who wins. And at the end of the day, that's a pretty good return on investment and allows you to get all those wide receivers and running backs and maybe even some quarterback talent on your roster too that you really want. Allows you to waste a pick, if you want, on Trey Lance just to see in a single quarterback league. Hey, I took Matt Ryan. Maybe I want some upside there at the quarterback position. Yep. Maybe I can take Trey Lance because I can wait and get a free tight end later. So just to review the names on the 15 list here that we've gone through: Rashad Penny, Salvin Ahmed, Larry Roundtree, Traquan Smith, Tyron Johnson, Byron Pringle, Tyler Higbee, and Adam Trautman. Those are Yates' names. My names: Amon-Ra St. Brown, Kenneth Gainwell, Gabriel Davis, Cole Kmet, Brian Edwards, Terrace Marshall Jr., and Blake Jarwin. Upside, that's what we're talking about. They're not all going to hit, but they all have the potential to. If things break right, things go their way. And these are the kind of guys that are the bonus plays that can change your league standings significantly. And maybe not all of them are going to get drafted in your league. That's fair. But it doesn't mean they shouldn't have your attention. It doesn't mean they're not going to be on your rosters at some point. Any final thoughts here, Yates, from you on some of these names as we look back on them? Feels like a pretty good upside list to me.
Yeah, and again, it's just reiterating that these are not guys that we are saying draft, way earlier than where they're going in ADP, but these are guys that we just wanted to bring to the table because we talk about the top tier guys all the time. We talk about mid-round values and, you know, players like that all the time. We wanted to go a little bit further down. So for the players who are playing in deeper leagues, you have these names to be able to pay attention to. But then also, again, don't discredit what happened last year with guys like Justin Jefferson, T. Higgins, Chase Claypool, the running backs of James Robinson, J.D. McKissic that were going so late that if we had identified those players ahead of time and told you to watch out for, which we did in some instances, then you were able to say, I potentially have a league winner with one of these guys, two of these guys, they're potential league winners. So get ahead of the curve and get to know these names.
Yeah, I mean, just looking right now, last year, Justin Jefferson was overall 123. Some other names on that list, too. How about Robbie Anderson, 150, right? I mean, it's just crazy. There's value to be had. You take some shots and you see what works out. And that's what we're here to do today. So hopefully you took some notes here and you know some of these names and get more familiar with them, either in your best ball leagues, your deeper leagues, or early in that waiver wire, or maybe even as the late drafting happens and you see some good things that happen potentially in some of the preseason games, because we're actually going to get some preseason games this year, unlike last year. Want to remind everybody, too, we're going to thank our sponsors of today's show, Fantasy Boss. Sign up today at fantasyboss.com so you can be part of that launch. Fantasy Crypto and Smack Talk, all of everyone's favorite things all together. Also, don't forget about IP Vanish. Go to ipvanish.com/pros to claim your 65% off savings today. And Air Medcare Network, because medical emergencies happen and you want to be prepared. Go to airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and take advantage of Air Medcare Network today. Also, take advantage of our draft kit. It is out. It is fantastic. It can all be yours. The cheat sheets, my playbook, premium, my playbook. If you haven't used it yet, this is the way. If you're playing right now, you want to talk about the Mandalorian, talking about the way, the playbook is the way. All your leagues you can manage from one spot. I don't care if it's Yahoo, ESPN, Fantrax, doesn't matter. Even if you play on sites that maybe are less popular, it all goes into my playbook. You can look at the waiver wire. You can look at trades. You can look at rosters. You can look at lineups all in one spot. So you don't have to completely go over here and there all day long and waste time. That's what you get. Plus, in the draft kit, you get the sleepers, the busts, the cheat sheets, everything in between. And don't forget about fantasypros.com/offers, because you want that premium Fantasy Pros membership for $10 of an investment to play some more fantasy on one of our partner sites. You can get that for 6 months for free. So go do it, fantasypros.com/offers. And of course, always remember to hang out with us on the YouTube channel where all the cool kids are, like Yates and me and Dan Harris and sometimes Tags. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For Yates, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, We're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.